of the year, is a bit of a free hit in there, because in ease it would say, talk about last year, talk about this, the coming year. That would seem to be the easy thing to do. And I always like doing the easy things, that's what I'm going to do. But we're going to read first from Haggai chapter 2, which, if you've got a church Bible, is page 948. If you haven't got a church Bible, it's between Zechariah and Zephaniah. I know you probably all know that. But Haggai chapter 2. I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 19. In the second year of King Darius, on the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the Lord, declares the Lord, of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I have covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. On the 24th day of the 9th month, in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment, and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil, or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of all these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replied, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, so it is with this people and this nation in my sight, declares the Lord. Whatever they do and whatever they offer there is defiled. Now give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. When anyone came to a heap of 20 measures, there were only 10. When anyone went to a wine vat to draw 50 measures, there was only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, yet you did not return to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day of the 9th month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. But from this day on, I will bless you. And then just one verse, don't bother to turn to this, from Esther, chapter 4, verse 14. Where's it gone? If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows, but that you may have come to your royal position, you may have come to this place for such a time as this. You may have come to this place for such a time as this. The book of Haggai is all about the rebuilding of the temple, which people hadn't done for many, many years because they were more interested, it says here, in their own houses and their own lives than in actually doing what God wanted them to do. Now, I'm not necessarily suggesting we are going to rebuild our church physically in a building over the next year. It's not beyond the bounds of possibility, but if I'm honest, maybe it's lack of faith. I suspect that won't happen. But I do think we can apply the same principles to the church, building the church, and God's blessing on us as a church. It's a real shame that Liz isn't here, because I know she loves this passage. She loves this reading. And I've heard her mention it several times over the years. So if I ask you, you don't have to answer this out loud, but what are your hopes and your aspirations for 2024? What are they personally, and what are they for the church? First thing I want to say is it's okay to have personal aspirations It's okay to have things you want to do in this coming year. It's okay, Jane, to want to see Brighton win the FA Cup in this coming year. Yeah, it's okay to want to go on holiday and enjoy yourselves this year. That is fine. God wants us to enjoy those things. What are your hopes and your aspirations for 2024 for your family, for yourself, and also for your church, for this body here? Sometimes we try and work out what God wants for us. We can almost look for big things, a real sense of God is telling me I must go here. God is telling me I must go there. God is telling me I must do this. And that does happen. But quite often, I don't think it does happen quite that way. Quite often we wait for big revelations. But a lot of the time what God is saying is, as you go through your life, I want you to do it for me. I want you to live your life for me. I want you to serve me. I want you to reflect me in whatever you're doing. And if whatever you're doing doesn't allow you to reflect me, then you probably shouldn't be doing it. But there aren't too many things I can think of in life, too many places you can go where you can't go with God with you. When I look at Jesus, he went to the places where he shouldn't have gone. In this day and age, Jesus lived here. Certainly a few years ago, possibly not so much now, but certainly when I first became a Christian, if Jesus had gone into the Downs Hotel, and he would have done, he would have been so much frowned on. He would have been so much looked down by the church. But he did it. But he did it. There aren't too many things that places or things that we can't do as Christians, but we need to take God with us. We need to take God with us. Whatever we're doing, we need to be doing it in a way that reflects him. I think God has blessed us in 2023. God has blessed us as a church in 2023. It's great to see a few new people coming in. It's been really good, Sean and Judy, to see you two. This is me being serious just for a second. I know I'm usually rude to you, but it's been brilliant to see you guys come in regularly. It's been a real blessing and an honour to get to know you. And hopefully that will continue this year and over previous years. Christmas Eve was fantastic, wasn't it? The hall was full. I have no idea who some of those people were. They went out. I talked to them. I still had no idea who some of them were. But it was great. It was great. And that was really exciting. God has blessed us in 2023. Is God's blessing on us for 2024? Does God want to bless us for 2024? I hope he does. Waste of time of me being up here otherwise, isn't it? God does want to bless us in this year. Of course he does. How can we, it's things on my mind a lot these days, how can we make Jesus seem more relevant in 2024 to the world around us, to the community around us, to the people we're in touch with? How can we make him seem more relevant? Because for a lot of people out there, they still think of Jesus as irrelevant, as not important. They still think of that. Why is that? Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. Who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? I can remember times, and a lot of us can remember times here, and also hundreds of years ago up in the old building, where the building was packed, absolutely packed, morning and evening. Probably over 100 people, quite perhaps not 100. So, I'm trying to remember when we were putting out chairs. Remember how many chairs we used to put out? Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah, so it was probably 80 or 90 there most weeks. And you look now and you think, oh, for only those days, if only we had that many now. But we haven't. And that can make us feel a little bit unimportant or a little bit irrelevant to those people out there, the rest of the community. Do they even know we're here? Well, obviously some do. Because on Christmas Eve, people came in who I'd never seen before. I couldn't work out how they came. Even though I asked them, I couldn't really work out. They said, oh, we wanted to come to a carol service. Why did they come to us? I don't know. But they came because they must have known about us. So we actually are more relevant and people are more aware of us than sometimes I think we are anyway, which was great. It was really exciting. But we can feel a bit unimportant here on a Sunday when there's not many of us here. But our witness as a church and as individuals is so much more than a Sunday, isn't it? It's so much more. It's in the shop. It's in Thursday fellowship. I'm pointing, you're over there, Faith. It's in Thursday Fellowship. It's wherever we are as individuals, whatever we're doing, that's where our relevance becomes. That's where we can make Jesus a bit more relevant to people. Verse 4 then, in Haggai chapter 2. Why can't I see the numbers? But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua. Be strong, all of you in the land, and work. Now that work, in that context, obviously was to do with building, putting one stone on top of another. We've got a builder here, but we won't ask you to build us a church, Sean. We won't ask you to pile stones up for us. That work, I think that involves what we do. And I've listed down four things here. None of these are new. None of these, when I say these four things, are you going to think, oh, I've never thought of that. They're all obvious, but at the start of the year, it's good to remember and to refocus sometimes. What does working involve in these days as God works through us? Loving each other. Loving each other, number one. Even more than we do already. If we could say one thing as a New Year's resolution. Did anyone make New Year's resolutions? What was yours, Rob?
Drink more water.
I wonder what you're going to say then. More water. Okay. Instead of... No. Yeah. Okay, that's a good resolution. Have you carried up so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Good. Anyone else? Anyone else? I didn't either. But if we could make a New Year's resolution, let it be to love each other even more than we do already. Yeah, now that's a great Christian thing to say, isn't it? How that works in practice, we have to work through. But it's in thought, isn't it? How we think about each other, what we say to each other, what we say about each other, what we do to help each other and to support each other, even when sometimes it's difficult. Keep thinking, what little things can I do to show love? It's the same as what I was saying before. Sometimes we think of the big things, but actually the little, tiny little things, the sending a text to someone or an email to someone when they need it, or saying, you know, if you need a hand or if you want to come for a cup of coffee, then we can do that. Or just contacting people. It doesn't have to be something overtly spiritual. Just getting together, yeah, for a drink sometimes or whatever. What little things can we do to show love to each other even more and to others as well? To be welcoming of people. I think people did feel welcome on Christmas Eve. I think they did. But here at the church and elsewhere, if you want to read about what love sounds like, and I'm not going to read this now, look at Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. Have a read of that and just apply that. I think as a church, I know Margaret, you say this a lot, and I think you're right, that we are a very loving church. We love each other. We love other people. But that doesn't mean we can't do it even more. Even more. Second thing, serve. Jesus came to serve. These are all sort of interlinked anyway. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. How can we be servants? Those of us who are leaders, our leadership should be in serving, not in leading and in telling, as it were. How can we be servants as part of the body? How can we serve each other more? How can we serve our community more? It's a lot of that's to do with an attitude of the heart, that we need to be people willing to say, okay, what can I do? This ties in, say, with what we're saying about love, doesn't it? How can we be even better servants in this year ahead? To serve, not to be served. To put others first is the other way the Bible talks it, doesn't it? Put others first. How can we do that more? To pray individually and together. This morning, we had the prayer breakfast. We had 11 people here. Wendy would have been here if she hadn't got a stomach upset. Dave and Ruth would have been here if their washing machine hadn't done whatever it did. That would have been 14 people. But even with 11, how many people have we got here today? About 25? That's nearly half of our congregation was here for a prayer breakfast. There are churches all around the country who would give their right arm to have half of their congregation turn up for a prayer meeting. That is, you know, let's be... I know we're not supposed to be proud or whatever as a church, but let's be really pleased that we have had so many. And every one of the prayer breakfasts we've had so far has had around about the same number. And it's not always easy to get up at 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Judith had to get up really early, didn't you? Really early to get here at 9 o'clock. She had to get up at 10 to 9, didn't you? Perhaps it was a bit earlier than that. You've got a cup of tea, though. I've had people before, when we've talked about prayer breakfast and stuff, and they've said, as a percentage of your church, when you have that many people, that's a fantastic percentage. It might not be a large number, 11 people, but as a percentage, it's brilliant. And God will bless that. I think God will bless that. As we pray together, when we're individually on Mondays or whenever we pray, I know people are doing that. The more we pray, the more God will bless us, be that together or apart. But the one thing I would say on that is what we need to remember, and it ties in again with this love bit and this servant bit, is being prepared to be the answers to our prayers ourselves. Quite often, I think, I can think of times when I've done it over the years, and certainly I think it's probably other people have done it as well. We pray for things, we pray for people, and God says, I think sometimes God says, doesn't make it obvious sometimes, but sometimes he does, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to make that? Yeah? Often, when we pray about things, God wants us to be the answer to those things. God wants us to reach out to that person or to do that thing. So, it's not always going to happen. And God will never ask you to do something that you can't do. In Matthew, really well known chapter, what's the time? Oh, gosh. Are you sure you put that right? Yeah, if you could do. I won't go on for long, don't worry. Just finding places in the Bible. Matthew chapter 6, I'm looking for. I should know where that is, shouldn't I? Do not worry. The bit about do not worry. It talks, doesn't it, about why do you worry about clothes, etc., etc. We don't need to worry too much about where our next meal is coming from here. We don't need to worry about where our clothes are coming from here. There are people in Brighton, probably people in Woodendean, who do have to worry about those things. We always need to bear that in mind. But it goes on to say, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Your Heavenly Father knows you need them. And that is true when God challenges us to do things. He knows what we need, and he knows that we need time to not do things. God doesn't challenge us to fill every moment of the day doing church things. Let me say that again. God doesn't want us to spend every moment of the day doing church things. That's how we become miserable. That's how Christianity seems really miserable and really dull and really hard work. God wants us to enjoy ourselves. God wants us to enjoy our lives. But he also might say to us on certain things, but I want you to be the person who reaches out to that person. I want you to be the person who does that. As we pray, and we need to pray, be prepared for God to challenge you occasionally to be the answer to your prayers. And the fourth one is living it. I've got to find Haggai again. I've lost it again. Remember what? There it is. I had put the page down, but now I've forgotten that. Haggai chapter 2. The fourth one is living it out. Live out our faith. Live it out. And again, these all tie in together, don't they? Love one another, serve, pray, live it out. Haggai chapter 2, verse 11. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Ask the priests what the law says. If someone carries consecrated meat in the fold of their garment and that fold touches some bread or stew, some wine, olive oil or other food, does it become consecrated? The priest answered, no. Then Haggai said, if a person defiled by contact with a dead body touches one of these things, does it become defiled? Yes, the priest replies, it becomes defiled. We are probably not very often going to be defiled by touching dead bodies. But we can be defiled by the things that we do and the things that we think. If our life is unclean, if our life is defiled, so is our witness. So is our ability for God to work through us. So we need to live out our faith. We need to be doing the things that God, living our life in the way God wants us to. If there's things we're doing that we would be ashamed for God to see us doing, then maybe we need to think about those. Maybe we need to think about those. If they're thoughts, things that we say sometimes to other people, even at home in families, that we wouldn't be happy for our church family to know we're saying or doing, maybe we need to think about those things. And I'm not saying that is the case for anyone here. We need to live out our faith, and we need to not just leave it out by not doing things, we need to live it out by positively doing things, by being there, by being out there, by loving, by serving, by praying, etc. Nothing new there. None of that's new. None of that's new, but let God use you. But let God use you in situations in joy. I have no doubt that Bob and Jane are a brilliant witness in the 1901 club. And it's great because they can do that while, I was going to say shouting and swearing, I don't mean that. Shouting sometimes in support of Brighton. But I've no doubt that Bob and Jane are a witness there. How good that is that they can do that in a situation they enjoy. Or Bob playing darts. You weren't the 16-year-old, were you?
No.
No, you're not 16, are you? No. Yeah. You look about the same age as him. But Bob, and all the different things that we do, work-wise or whatever, as we're doing them, I've lost my place here. As we do, what was I saying? Let God use you in situations that you enjoy. That's right, yeah. How have we, and I don't mean us, I mean over hundreds of years, how have we got it so wrong that people who aren't Christians see being a Christian as a negative thing? How have we got it so wrong that the atheist society can put out an advert to say, there's probably not a God, now go and enjoy yourself? That is so sad. Not sad because they did it. Sad because we, Christendom as a whole, has led them to think that, has led people to think that. How awful is that? How God must grieve over that. Because God is not dull. Jesus was not dull. Jesus was accused, wasn't he, of being a glutton and a drunkard. He went to places, as I said before, to enjoy himself. He would have been someone who was fun to be with. The Bible doesn't ever talk about Jesus laughing. I don't think that's because he didn't laugh. I think that's probably because a lot of the time he spent laughing and joking and enjoying being with people. Fishermen would not have followed him. Tax collectors would not have followed him if he was dull. We need to be letting God use us in the situations that we can enjoy. And by doing that, I think we make Jesus seem less irrelevant. I think, how can we make Jesus more relevant? By making him less irrelevant. How can we make him less? By making him less unattractive. Because that's what we do sometimes. And we get caught up, Christians get caught up in so much of the wrong things, so much we disapprove of, so many things. And it's right, some things to disapprove of. But when we're disapproving of everything, it seems sometimes, then that's a problem. That's a problem. There is a place for standing against certain things. Some things we stand against, probably we think, should we stand against those really? But there is a place. But it seems to me that it's more important to love and to serve and to pray. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control. What have I missed?
Faithfulness.
Yeah, all that. Those are the fruits of the Spirit. And the bit after that, against those things there is no law. Against those things there is no law. One of our leaders' meetings a few months ago, Jack, our moderator, said something I thought was really wise. It was a situation we were discussing. We weren't sure what to do and what not to do. I won't go into the details of it. She said, if you're ever in a situation like that, always err on the side of grace. Always err on the side of grace. If you're not sure whether I should disapprove or whatever it is, always err on the side of grace, the side of kindness, the side of love. And if you're going to make a mistake, make it be that you're too loving rather than too harsh. That was so wise, I think. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6 to 9. I've nearly finished. Where's it gone? I can't see these numbers. This is what the Lord Almighty says, verse 6. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. Silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. Could that be true for us going forward? That God is going to shake this place. God is going to make the glory of this place here, where we meet here, even greater than it was in the past when we used to have whatever numbers it was I said earlier. There's no reason why it shouldn't be. No reason. It may not happen this year. It may not happen this year. It's a balance sometimes with Christians, isn't it? Being realistic and being faith-filled. And I think what you said a few weeks ago when you led about not worrying so much about big numbers, but about seeing one at a time. One person. There's one person we can affect in this year ahead. One person we can lead closer to Jesus in this year ahead. How good is that? It doesn't matter. We don't have to lead 20 people to Jesus this year or closer to him. But if we do it with one person, influence one person to take a little step closer, then that is great. I don't know what God wants to do to bless us in this year ahead, but he does want to bless us. And it might even be, not necessarily, people coming to church on a Sunday. I do believe there will be plenty of people in heaven when we get there who rarely came to church on a Sunday, but we're still in the right relationship with God. We're still in the right relationship. We will face difficulties. Life is full of difficulties. People have found life full of difficulties in the last few days, in the next few days. We will face difficulties, specific and just general difficulties. We will. As we pray, and the more we try and live for God, the more we try and we'll be a blessing, then we will live. But Micah chapter 7, verse 7, which is the verse we started off at the prayer meeting this morning. But as for me, I watch in hope for the Lord. I wait for God my Saviour. My God will hear me. If we pray, if we live our lives for God, he will hear us. He will hear us. So God, what does God want us to do in 2024? What should I be doing? What should you be doing? Don't know. But whatever you're doing, do it in the way that God would want you to. And even if that's sitting at home drinking your cup of coffee by yourself, watching the telly, that's okay. That's okay. That's okay to do that. God can bless you. God can be happy while you're doing that. God can be happy that you're doing that. We don't have to fill our lives with church things. We do have to fill our lives just in the way, living the way God wants us to. Be prepared to be part of the answer. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. We are here at this time, in this church, in this place, at the right time, for whatever reason, I don't know. And don't forget about the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23. And if you get a chance, I'll say, read Romans 12, 9 to 21. Finished. We're going to sing Amazing Grace? We are going to sing whatever comes up as the last song. It could be Sussex by the Sea, couldn't it?